God. And God's word is devil destruction power. With my Bible, I can defeat the devil every single day. This is my Bible. My Bible is the word of God. And God's word is the revelation of his will for my life. Whatever it says I am, that's what I am. Whatever it says I can do, I can do it. Whatever it says I have, I claim it in Jesus' name. Father God, we thank you for the opportunity we had to hear your word, to teach your word, and to preach your word. Now, Father God, help us to be doers of your word. Help us to take down, write notes, and do whatever it is necessary to retain what you are teaching us in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Praise God. You may be seated, Doug. You know, Pastor Mary, I think that was not the song we were looking for. We will have that song. We will try to have that song next week. I got to stop saying we will do something and I don't get around to doing it. Praise God. But we are going to talk to you today about the power of the tongue. Praise God.
Amen.
Say the power of the tongue. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 18. It has been a long and trying morning, but God is still good. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Proverbs what?
Proverbs 18. Proverbs is right after the book of Psalms. If you've gone to the book of Ecclesiastes, you've gone too far. If you are in the book of Job, then you need to turn two books forward. Proverbs 18, looking at verse 21, and let's read this together, and hopefully if you don't have a King James Version, just read it out loud out of the translation that you have. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Let's read it again. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, I like another translation of this. The easy-to-read version says, the tongue can speak words that bring life or death. Those who love to talk must be ready to accept what it brings. Those
you see can preserve life or destroy it.
Say that again, Pastor. Oh, I like that. Read it aloud. Get yourself on CD here.
Okay. My yes, it is 21. Hold on 1 second. The eyes, so.
The eyes is good.
Yeah. They say what you can say preserve life or destroy it. So you must accept the consequence of your words.
Ooh, I like that one. I'm going to quote that one next week. I'm going to pretend like I didn't hear Pastor Steve quote it and take all the credit. Praise God.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. But it can destroy it, or you can be blessed with life, depending on what you say with this thing we call a mouth. Praise God.
Yeah.
I heard a man once say that God gave you two ears to listen and to do twice the listening and only one mouth to do less of the speaking. Hallelujah. See, the problem with our mouths is they get us in big trouble quite often.
Yeah.
Words, whether you know it or not, have power.
Amen.
It's through words that world wars have started. Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
Some dictator says something to somebody, and the other somebody gets mad, and they say, well, that just makes me angry. And so they gather their soldiers, and the dictator gathers his soldiers, and they fight. And they kill each other, and they rape and pillage houses. All because of somebody's words. When I was a kid, when somebody said something to us, we would say something like, sticks and stones can break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That is the most untrue statement you could ever make in your life. Words have destroyed marriages, praise God.
Amen.
Words have split churches and even destroyed churches, praise God.
Amen.
Words have destroyed companies. Words have brought down presidents and senators.
Mm-hmm.
Words have messed up people's lives big time. That's what, and James tells us that this tongue, even though it's a little member, can cause great fires to happen.
I don't know if you were, you know, we got a lot of young people in here now, but you know, when I was young, you know, we used to have the commercials about Smokey Bear. And he tell you don't light a match in the forest because it can cause a forest fire. And think about it, that little teeny weeny match has destroyed so many forests, praise God. There is power in his tongue. And I'm not just talking about from a natural standpoint, but from a supernatural standpoint as well. Praise the name of the Lord.
Amen.
See, this tongue of yours has determined where you are at in your life today. Praise God.
Amen.
A lot of what you are doing in your life today is based on your mouth. Yes. If you are in bad circumstances today, you need to probably look back on what you've been saying over the past few years about yourself. Well, I ain't no good. My life's just worthless. I don't know what I'm going to do. If you've been saying that, then that's what you're getting from it. Praise God.
Amen.
If you've been saying, you know, circumstances look pretty bad, but I am going to make it through this. I'm going to be somebody someday. Then that's what then that's what's going to happen in your life, or that's what has happened in your life. Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
See, what you confess, you possess. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
So, some people have said that words are the seedbed of power, and that's where it says here in Proverbs 18. It says, "They that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." The fruit is the result of the seeds, the words, which are seeds that you have been planting, and it brought forth the harvest in your life. Glory to God.
Amen.
Words are seeds. You can look at Mark chapter 4 whenever you get some time, and you will find that words are seeds. You plant them, they grow, and they bring forth a harvest. And that's where it says that you shall eat the fruit thereof, or they will destroy or bless your life, or they can bring life or death to you. Amen.
Amen.
But you need to be ready to accept whatever it brings. Now, one of the definitions of this word power, there's several definitions of it, and I'll get into one of the main definitions in a minute, but one of the definitions of this word power is destiny. It's destiny. That word power means destiny. So basically what Solomon, who I believe wrote the Proverbs, is saying to you here is that your destiny is dependent on what you say. Your destiny is based on your tongue. Praise God. So our seed words shape our future, and they direct our destiny. Our words have power to produce. And that's why what I'm teaching you is vitally important to your life. Praise God.
Amen.
Now, we taught this a lot back in the 80s and early 90s. And we taught it so much that even I got sick of it after a while. But I find out that if the less I hear about it, the more that I open my mouth and say stupid stuff. Praise God. And so I figured maybe I better get back into this so I can stop saying dumb things. Amen. But because life and death are in the power of the tongue. You may have knowledge of this, but unless you practice this, unless you discipline your mouth, and this is the heart, the Bible tells you in James that this tongue is very difficult to discipline. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You got to really trust God to help you discipline your mouth, because we live in a world where negativity abounds, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Where skepticism and low self-esteem abounds. And that's not God's way. Jesus died to lift you up, not to bring you down. Glory to God.
Yeah.
And so we've got to learn to start saying what God says, or else our destiny will go away from God. Now, again, that word power, It comes from a Hebrew word called yad or yod. And basically the word means hand. It means hand. Now, this is a metaphorical meaning. Anybody know what the word metaphorical is? Pastor using such big words. The word metaphorical basically means that something that represents something else. And the word hand represents power, especially when it is used in reference to the hand of God. Now, in several places in the Bible, it talks about the hand of God being upon a person for either good or for ill. Praise God. And, you know, just like I've been writing a book called Does God Send Sickness? And, you know, we've gotten to the ninth chapter of it now. And one of the scriptures I was looking up and dealing with was Elymas the sorcerer. And Paul tells Elymas that the hand of God is upon you, and now you will become blind. The hand of God is representing the power of God. Hallelujah. Now, from a positive standpoint, if you want to know how I explain all that, you have to get the book. Amen. It'll be on sale in a couple months. But anyway, like in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 12, you don't have to turn there. I'll read it to you for sake of time. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand is to make great and to give strength unto all. Praise God. Amen. So God is saying, in thine hand is power and might. And that word yad, which means hand, is talking about power and might. And from a negative standpoint, Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2 says, to those who are in sin and wondering why God isn't answering their prayers, he says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. In other words, God is saying, my power is not diminished. Neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities are separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. The Lord is saying, when he says, my hand is not shortened, he is saying, I do not have less power than I had before. So that is not the reason why you're not getting your prayers answered. Praise God. He says, it is your sins that keep me from blessing you. And which is one of the things we're going to point out in this teaching is the fact that you can determine whether God blesses you or whether Satan is active in your life. Hallelujah. You see, you got the choice. See, there are two primary spiritual forces at work. There are forces for good, and there are forces for evil. And God has given you authority to determine which force will work in your life. Praise God.
Amen.
And if evil is working in your life, it might be because you authorize it to work in your life. Praise God. If good is working in your life, now don't get me wrong, because sometimes people hear this type of teaching, they think you're not going to go through any trials or tribulations. That's a big lie right there. You will go through trials, but you can walk victoriously depending on your words. Hallelujah. So, but for the most part, if you're walking in health, it's because of the words of your mouth. If you're walking in sickness and disease and you're crippled, you might need to look at the words of your mouth. Praise God. If you're having mental distress and anguish and stress, maybe you should look at the words of your mouth. Oh, I'm so stressed. Oh, I just can't take it anymore. You can't take it anymore because of the words of your mouth. Praise God. Maybe we need to change our words and begin to lift up our hands and say, Father, life is difficult right now. But I bless you because you are my strength. You are my ever-present help in a time of trouble. You are my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I fear? When you begin to learn the word of God, you begin to speak the word of God and stop speaking what the devil speaks, then you will stop authorizing the devil to work in your life
and you will authorize God to work in your life. Even though God is all powerful and he's omnipotent, he has given you and I the freedom to choose him or the devil. Praise God. Now, those who embrace a theological system called Calvinism do not agree with that or understand that, because they will tell you that everything that happens in your life is the will of God. And they will tell you that all the circumstances you are going through, from your baby getting killed by a drunk driver, all the way up until you getting cancer, was all the doing of God, and it was his purpose and plan for your life. That is a big lie from the devil, praise God. And if you accept that lie, and that's why I believe this teaching comes directly from the pits of hell. Because so many people accept that teaching, and they speak it, and they say these things, and that's why it continues to have power in their lives. Praise God.
Amen.
When we begin to start speaking what God speaks, when we begin to start speaking his promises and speaking his word and start saying what God says instead of what the devil says, then we will have life in our life instead of death in our life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, in Psalm 95:5, you don't have to turn there. It says the sea is in his hand, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Remember, I told you that that word yod, word power, is yod, which means hand. And I'm reading to you Psalm 95:5 because I want you to see that God, it is said that God created the world by his power. Praise God. But when we read Genesis 1, we see that God spoke the world into existence. Praise God.
Amen.
He's every from all 6 days or 7 days, God spoke. He said, let there be, and it became, or it was. But yet we read Psalm 95:5, and it says that God did it by his hand. So now we understand that that word is metaphorical, which is simply talking about that the world was created by God's power. And that same power that God used to create the world, guess what? He is placed in your hands. Praise God.
Amen.
Now, that's not to say that you can speak worlds into existence, but you can change your personal world. Praise God.
Amen.
You can speak your personal world into existence. You can change the world around you through your words. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm not telling you that you can bring planets into existence like God does. And there's no need for you to. But you can change a lot of circumstances in your life by watching what you say. This is scripture I do want you to turn to real quickly. Turn with me to Psalm chapter 8. Because I want you to see that God gave you and I authority over the works of his hands.
Amen.
Or you can say God gave you authority over the works of his power. Psalm chapter 8, or most theologians would tell you, it's not a chapter, it is a division. It's the 8th division of the Psalms. Yes. Must have that huffy voice. All right. Psalm, the 8th division. Begin at verse 4. It says, let me read this to you from the Revised Standard Version, because I like this one. It says, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou dost care for him? Do you know that God cares for you? Do you know that God cares for you?
Amen.
Say, God cares about me.
God cares.
Oh, he cares for you. I don't know where people get the idea from that when they say, God is too busy to care about my little itty bitty problem. The Bible says that he counts the numbers of hairs on your head. I mean, he cares about the little teeny weeny things in your life. Say, God cares about me.
God cares.
Oh, yes, he does. He cares about every little detail of your life. He is a loving father. Don't ever believe the lies of Satan that, well, you know, that's just a little thing. God doesn't care about that. God cares. He loves you. Well, what about
all the people starving over in Africa. He cares about them too, praise God. He cares about you. So send some money to ministries that are helping those people over in Africa, praise God. Amen. You are his hands. All right. But it says, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou dost care for him? Yet thou hast made him a little less than God. I like that. See, your Bible, if you're reading the King James or some other translation, it probably says God has made man a little less than the angels. That's not the right translation. The word for angels in the King James and other translations is Elohim, which is in the majority of places translated as God. See, Genesis chapter 1 says God created you in his image and after his likeness, praise God. If he had created you after, if you were a little less than angels, then you would have had to been created in the image of angels and after their likeness. Praise Jesus. Amen. But God says that you are his children, especially those of us who are born again. God created and patterned you after himself, both male and female. Hallelujah. Amen. So men don't think that you don't get all conceited thinking that you are like God and the women aren't, because we're both like God. Hallelujah. That's why God has certain, although God is male, he always represents himself as a male. He does have motherly instincts. And that's why God likes to work in marriages, because husbands and wives are supposed to be acting like God together. Hallelujah. And so wives and husbands, men and women, are both created in God's image. And so we are a little less than God. And if we've been made a little less than God, then that means we have some of God's attributes. And if God is able to speak things into existence, so are we. Praise God. Now again, let's not take that too far. I'm not telling you that we have that we are God. You know, there's a teaching out there saying calling people little gods. I'm not calling us that. Praise God. I've told y'all before, I'm not qualified to be God. I mess up too much. Amen. Amen. I still slip every once in a while. You know, I'm just better than y'all. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding on that part. All right. Don't take me serious on that. Got to make you laugh. But I'm not qualified to be God. But I am God's son and God's child. And that means that just like my son, when you see picture, I put a picture of me and my son on Facebook several months ago, and everybody kept saying, "You guys look like twins." That's because he's, and I'm a jealous man, so I said he better look like me. But anyway, he has my attributes, praise God. Amen. He has my features. And so he even has some of my habits. Amen. I think Terry has more of my habits than my other two. Yes. But all three of my children have some of my habits and some of my attributes, praise God. Amen. Well, if I am a little less than God, then I must have some of God's attributes. Amen. And you know, the sad part about us human beings is that because we were born in sin and we're still dealing with the flesh, many times our children pick up some of our good things and our bad things, praise God. So they picked up all my wife's bad things. All right, some of mine too. The very few that I have. But they picked up, but with God, he has nothing but good things, praise God. And so anything you pick up from God are good things. And one of the good things is the power and ability to change your world through your mouth. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And like I told you, there are two spiritual forces at work. You can decide who you open the door to and who you let in and who is able to change your circumstances. You have the authority to open up the door and let Satan into your life. You have the authority to open up the door and let God into your life. God is not going to force his way into your life, and the devil
even though he would like to force his way into your life, he cannot force his way into your life. Praise God.
Amen.
I remember Lester Summerall, when he was talking one time, he, great man of God, great missionary, who's going on to be with the Lord. He said the devil came to him one time and told him, I'm going to show myself to you. And Lester Summerall said, no, you're not. He said, he told him, I command you not to show yourself to me. I don't want to see you. And the devil couldn't. Praise God. Because you have authority to determine who is working in your life and who isn't. See, Satan works through fear. If he can speak to you and get you afraid, then you will start speaking words of fear. But if you begin to listen to God, God's words are always words of
boldness.
That's a good one. But I was thinking of the opposite. Well, boldness is opposite of fear. But
encouragement.
Love. Yep. All those are good words. But faith comes by what?
Hearing.
And hearing by?
Word.
That's the word I'm really looking for, is faith. But all those were good words. All those were good. I'm impressed. Praise God. Man, I got some good students here. Yeah, love, boldness, faith. See, God's words are words of boldness, love, and faith. Satan's words are words of fear and trepidation. And if you allow him to speak those words into you, and you can tell whether it is God speaking to you or Satan speaking to you. If the words that come to your mind make you afraid, get you to start worrying, and you know that the Bible says be anxious for nothing. And if you're starting to worry, then you are not hearing from God. Praise God. Every time God has appeared to one of his prophets, he used two words to them. Fear not. Fear not. He always wanted to keep his people from being afraid. Praise God. And so whenever God speaks words, even when he has to rebuke, he encourages. Praise God.
Amen.
See, God does what I call, what I learned in the industry as the kiss me, kick me, and kiss me again principle. When he has to rebuke you, the first thing he does is build you up, tells you the good things about you. And then he'll smack you down for a little bit, tell you what you did wrong, but then he'll build you back up again and encourage you. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. It's like when I was in Japan, whenever we got evaluated and everything, and then the evaluator would sit down and tell you everything you did wrong. First he'll try to tell you all the great things you're doing, and then you look at him and say, all right, you kissed me, now kick me. And then he'll tell you, okay, well, this is where you're messing up at. But then his job, he will tell you, you fix this, this, and this, and you're going to have an excellent section. Praise God. And that's the exact same thing God does. You read the read Revelation chapter 2 and 3, and you see how God makes every attempt to build up the churches, in those seven churches in the book of Revelation. He, now there was like two of them he really couldn't find anything good about them. but he still tried to build them up. He still told them, you still got a chance. Get yourself together. I'm going to tell you something. If God, no matter how bad you are, if God is still speaking to you, you still got a chance. Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
It's when God, the Bible says, woe unto them when I depart from them.
Mm-hmm.
It's when God departs from you that you really need to be worried.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and I don't ever want God to depart from me. I love it when he rebukes me. I mean, I don't love it at the time. Mm-hmm. But the Bible says that, you know, no chastening, it feels good at the time, but it builds peaceable fruit, praise God. And God, and the Bible says God loves those whom he chastens, praise God. Because he wants you to make it, praise God.
Amen.
So you need to learn to listen to God's words. Even if they're tough and difficult to hear, you need to learn to listen and embrace what God says, because he wants you to have fruit that endures for eternal life. But he will never try to make you afraid. Satan, he doesn't offer you any kind of hope. He'll speak something and tell you that you have no hope. You might as well just give up. You might as well just throw in the towel. That's Satan's way. God will never tell you to throw in the towel. Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
He will tell you, well, this is what you're doing wrong, son or daughter. Now, let's fix this up. and now you go, move on your way. I'm with you. Praise God. Hallelujah. So what you got to learn to do is speak the word of God, because if you speak anything other than God's word, you are speaking death. And you are opening the door for Satan. Now let me show you a couple of scriptures. We'll get you out of here, get you home. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 4. I just want you to see that you have authority to open the door for the devil or for God to work in your life. You need to see this principle. Now come back next week so we can tell you the rest of the story. Amen. You really need to hear this teaching, because some of y'all have been saying some really bad stuff over yourselves. Some of y'all have been complaining too much. How many of y'all know that when you complain, you're not saying anything good? Nobody complains and says, you know, everything's just going so great. Oh, I'm just so blessed all the time. Oh, wow. Goodness gracious, why do I have all this money? Nobody does that, do they?
No.
No, when we complain, we are just talking about the problem over and over and over again. God does, and you're not, you. Nobody complains and say, praise the Lord. Nobody does that. When you worship God, you can't complain. When you speak words of life, you're not complaining. But a lot of y'all have been complaining too much. Praise God. And the Bible tells us in Numbers chapter 11, Numbers chapter 11 says that the Israelites, they complained and it displeased the Lord, and they were destroyed. And then when you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, talking about that same incident, Paul says that they were destroyed of the destroyer. In other words, they opened the door and allowed Satan to come into their lives because of their mouth. Praise God. They open their mouth and invite and said, Satan, come on in. I'm complaining, so I'm inviting you in. Look at Genesis chapter 4. Verses 6 and 7. Now, this is talking about Cain. Anybody know the story of Cain and Abel?
Amen.
Amen. Y'all know that Cain was the first murderer. He killed his brother and all that bad stuff. Well, he didn't have to do it. God, see, it was all about jealousy and sacrifice. All Cain had to do was do the right thing. See, Cain tried to offer fruit from the ground, and the ground had already been cursed. Praise God. And Abel gave sacrifices of meat representing the blood of Jesus that was to come and cleanse their sin. And so Cain, he just refused to do the right thing. And so the Lord speaks to Cain. Look at this. God is so in love with Cain that he takes the time out to speak to him and tell him what you're doing wrong. And he says, and the Lord says unto Cain, why are you so angry? Why are you so depressed? Or why is thy countenance fallen? He says, if you do well, shalt thou not be accepted? God said, if you do the right thing, son, I will accept you. He says, but if you don't do well, look at this, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire. Say his.
Yes.
So when it's talking about sin here, it's not talking about a thing or an action. It's talking about a person, praise God.
Amen.
And I'm going to show you that in a minute. It says sin. You might as well just replace the word sin with Satan, praise God. And I'm going to prove it to you that this is exactly who he's talking about. He says sin or Satan is lying at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire. But you can rule over him. Praise God. God is telling Yahweh, Jesus, I believe it was Jesus in his pre-incarnate state was speaking to Cain at the time. And Jesus was telling Cain, he said, listen, son. He said, Satan is after you, but you can stop him. You can rule over him. Just do the right thing. Now turn with me to 1 John chapter 3, because some of y'all looking at me like, well, Pastor, you better bring some scripture on that one. I don't know. I usually trust you, Pastor, but you got to prove that one now. And I will. And you're doing the right thing by questioning me. Praise God.
Amen.
You're supposed to question me. You need to. You should say, Pastor, thank you. Show me scripture on that. Amen.
Amen.
Don't ever let anybody tell you something that they can't prove through the word of God. I don't care who he is. I don't care. Let me tell you something. If Jesus shows up to you in a vision and tells you something, you better say, I need some scripture on that, Jesus. Amen. Because that may not be Jesus. The devil can make himself to be an angel of light as well. I like Brother Hagin. He used to, when he had several visions where he saw Jesus, and Jesus would tell him something, and he said, hey, that messes up my theology, Lord. He said, you better show me some scripture on that. And the Lord wouldn't get mad. The Lord said, okay. And then then Hagin said at one point, the Lord gave him so many scriptures. He said, okay, that's enough. I get it now. But 1 John chapter 3, verse 12, it says, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, say wicked one, and slew his brother, and wherefore slew him, because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Praise God. So that shows you that it was Satan who was standing at the door knocking. And Jesus told Cain, he said, Satan is at the door knocking, son. You can open it up for him, or you can rule over him. Praise God. See, you can't stop Satan from knocking on your door. You can't stop anybody from knocking on your door, but you can decide who you let in. Praise God.
Amen.
You can't stop somebody from knocking on your door. I can't stop people from knocking on my door. But if I open the door and you say, hi, I'm a mass murderer. I like to come in and kill all your family. I remember some years ago, I think it was on a weekend, my kids were still awake, and me and my wife were in the bed sleeping, and I think it was like 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, and I hear this banging on the door. My kids are all scared, so I go to the door, and there's this guy standing outside the door, says, hi, my car is broken down the street.
Uh-huh.
Can you, he says, can you just give me $20, and I'll come back tomorrow and give you $40? I looked at him, and I slammed the door. See, if I was a fool, I'd say, oh, yeah, okay. One time somebody tried to do that to me, and I need $10. I own a car lot over here, but I need to get, my car broke down. I need to get some gas. Can you give me $10, and I'll come back and bring you $20? I said, let's go. He said, what do you mean? I said, let's go see your car. Mm-hmm. What do you mean? I said, let's go see your car and let's see what's going on with it. He says, never mind, and walked away. I know I was born, but I wasn't born yesterday, praise God. I've fallen for a few scams in the past, but people have hardened me to a lot of stuff now. But you can see that Satan knocked at the door of Cain, and he could not break the door down. He could not get in. Cain opened the door wide and said, come on in, Satan. And then Satan moved him to kill his brother Abel. Praise God. Now turn with me to Revelation chapter 3, one of the passages we were talking about earlier. I'm going to show you this and then show you one more and then we'll get out of here. Deal? Alright. Begin at verse 19, Revelation 3:19. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Now, we use this scripture a lot for sinners, and I don't have a problem with that. But God is specifically speaking to you and me. Praise God. He's speaking to the church. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Now look, now notice. Jesus doesn't say, behold. I'm coming in to kick the door down. He doesn't say that. He says, behold, I stand at the door and I'm knocking. In other words, Jesus is saying, it's your choice. You can let me in and I will bless you, or you can keep the door closed and I'll walk away. Praise God. Yeah. Oh, but woe unto you when he departs. When I hear Jesus knocking, I go run to the door right away. Praise God. Hallelujah. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Praise God. Amen. So you have the freedom, the choice to let Jesus in or to let the devil in. Praise God. Amen. He gives you that choice. And quite often, that choice or that authority is through this mouth of ours. See, we run God away by some of the many things we say that grieve the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Amen. We say stuff that just grieves him, that are outside of God's word. We whine, we moan, we complain, we cry. Now, I'm not getting on anybody because I still have to fight it myself. Praise God. Amen. Even yesterday, my wife said, will you stop whining? See, I have to catch myself sometimes, praise God. Even though, and I've known this stuff for 30 years, and I still have to fight and discipline my flesh to stop saying stupid stuff. Praise God. But I can tell you also, within the 30 years as I practiced this, that God has blessed me abundantly. Hallelujah. Amen. God has done great things in my life because I learned to speak the word of God over my circumstances, over my situations, and I've seen changes. Hallelujah. Amen. Because when I speak, I invite God in. When God is knocking at the door and I speak his word, that means I've opened the door and let him in. But when I speak the words of Satan, fear, doubt, unbelief, that means I said, God, get out of here, go home. And I said, Satan, come on in. Let's have some fellowship. Praise God. That's what you're doing when you're whining and moaning and complaining. You're fellowshipping with demons. Amen. Mm-hmm. You're having a pity party. Yeah, I'm just going through some hard times. And the demon is saying, yeah, you sure are. Yeah, I am. You need to just give up, huh? Yeah, I sure should. Yeah, you need to go over and work and just kill all of them. Yeah, I need to get a gun. I'm going to go postal. No, see, you're inviting it. When you speak the wrong words, you are opening the door for Satan. See, you can open doors for God or for the devil. Praise God.
Amen.
Let me show you one more scripture to prove this point, and then we'll get out of here. Because, see, the problem is you got so much teaching going on in the body of Christ now. With so many people saying that everything that happens is God's will. God is in control. No, baby, let me tell you something. God is only in control in as much as you will let him be in control. Praise God. Amen. Now, when you say God is in control, I don't find nothing wrong with the statement. I have to find out what you mean by it. Praise God. Mm-hmm. If you're saying God is in control, in other words, that he's the one, he's the cause of all this mess, and I'm just going to sit here and let him work out his plan, guess what? The devil's going to kill you. The Bible says the thief comes not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Mm-hmm. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life. Death and life are in the power of your tongue. Mm-hmm. One more scripture, Ephesians chapter 4. Then we'll get out of here. Are you learning anything?
Mm-hmm.
Glory to God. You're going to learn a lot more. You're going to find out that the Bible has a lot to say about your mouth and about how your mouth and your tongue and your words determine your destiny. But we're just building a little bit of foundation for the moment. Ephesians 4:26, beginning at verse 26, it says, be ye angry and sin not. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's okay to get angry about certain things, but it's not good to lose your temper. Amen. There's a difference between getting angry, because God gets angry at injustice. He gets angry at wrong, and you should too. And I think too many times God's people aren't angry enough, praise God. They need to start getting more angry at the devil. We need to start coming to prayer and dealing with the devil together, hallelujah. The devil's running rampant in this world only because God's people aren't exercising their authority through prayer. Amen. I said amen.
Amen.
You may not like it, but it's the truth. All right. But it says, be angry and sin not, and let not the sun go down on your wrath. This is especially true for husbands and wives. Husbands, your wife make you mad, don't let the sun go down. By the time the sun, before the sun goes down, kiss her. Call her up. Amen. All right. Verse 27, neither give place to the devil. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Another translation says, do not give the devil any foothold in your life. Do not give him any authority in your life. You can determine whether the devil gets any place in your life or he doesn't. I'm going to tell you something about Satan. You give him an inch,
he'll take a yard.
He'll take a yard. Thank you, Pastor Mary. Once he takes a yard,
he can't come up.
Mm-hmm.
Not possess.
He gonna possess. Oh, he's not polite.
Nope.
He's very rude.
Yeah.
And he likes to take over. God, on the other hand, is kind. He's polite.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. Praise God.
Amen.
You don't want God around. Mm-hmm. He don't want to leave. But if you don't want him around, you say, leave me alone. He is a gentleman. He will leave you alone. Praise God.
Amen.
He's not a stalker. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Satan is a stalker. Satan's the original stalker.
Yes.
God is not a stalker. He may be deeply in love with you. But if you say, Holy Spirit, will you leave me alone? He will leave you alone. Because the Bible says you can quench the Holy Spirit. Praise God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But Satan, give him an inch. He will take the whole caboodle, baby. He will possess you. That's right. So, watch your mouth. Amen.
Amen.
Watch your mouth. We're going to learn more about this next week. We're going to learn some good things about what your mouth can do to bless you and change your world, and how you can change your present circumstances through speaking the word of God. It doesn't matter what your circumstances are right now. It may have taken years for you to get to where you at, but I'm going to tell you, God can change your circumstances in a lot less time than you mess them up. Amen?
Yeah.
He can change them in a lot less time than you can, but you got to be patient. See, some of y'all, you think that this works when I was a kid, we watched these devilish shows like Bewitched and I Dream of Jeannie, praise God. I love them shows, but now I look at them as demonic, because they want you to use magical power to make things happen. Today, most of you young people, y'all got Harry Pluter or Pothead or whatever his name is. whatever the guy's name is, you got all this demonic stuff going on now that's telling you that if you just exercise demonic power, you can get stuff instantly. Because we live in a world of instantaneous gratification. But God can change things, but you got to learn to be patient. If you spent years messing your life up, give God at least a couple of months to change it. Praise God.
Amen.
Speak the word of God. Speak it for a couple of months. It is just as easy to discipline yourself and speak what the word of God says than to just complain about your circumstances. Hallelujah. You speak over your children. You know, these babies y'all got, you know, Nancy and Famata and Mimi and Mary, you know, yes, you too, Radimus, and Luli, you know, Luli don't like me to call her out, so just pretend that you didn't hear her. y'all speak over your children, speak life unto them, always say good things about your children. Even when they make you angry, if you make you angry before you say words that are hurtful, walk away. Walk away. Calm down. And then when you get ready to spank, even when you gotta spank your children, and you should spank them, I'm not telling you guys that's do it all the time, but every once in a while you gotta put the paddle on the booty, praise God. Never use your hand. Never use this. This is for love. But get a little stick or something.
Hmm?
Yeah. get a little paddle. Yeah, don't hit them with your hands. I tell you. If I see any of y'all hitting your kids with your hands, I'm going to deal with you. Amen. Don't ever use them hands.
The Pope said they should spank the kids.
Yes, yeah, spank. And don't beat, spank. But as you are spanking them, don't spank them in anger. Say good things over them. Son or daughter, I love you. You're going to be a great somebody someday. But yeah. Pop the butt. Pop that butt while you're doing it. But speak life over them. Praise God. Yeah, don't be.
I love you.
Pow. When I was younger, I watched TV. Because my mom, when she beat you, she beat you. She ain't. She had nothing good to say about you.
Yeah. You can beat by, I used to get beat by syllables. Yeah.
Same here. Same. Besides that, I had to go out and get my own switch many times. So. or if it's wintertime, go get me my belt. Why should I get the instrument of my own punishment? Good grief. I have to go retrieve it. That was the longest walk of my life. But as you do it, as you discipline your children, you do it with love, praise God, not with anger. If you do it with anger, you will abuse them and you will hurt them. But when you do it with love, speak life over them. You're going to be a great person. You're not ever going to jail. You will never go to prison. Because I'm going to make sure you don't. Amen. Now don't. You just like your daddy. Your mama. Just like he went in prison, you're going to be in prison. Don't do that. Praise God. If your child's father is in prison, your baby's daddy or whatever is in prison, you say you will not be like your father. You will be somebody. Praise God. You're not going to be a whore like your mother. Praise God. You are going to be somebody someday. Amen? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
You speak life over their children. Hallelujah. All right, I beat that dead horse with a wooden spoon too many times. All right, praise God. Stand to your feet. I believe God needed to tell you that, though. Praise Jesus. If you have been speaking negative things over your children, it's not too late. Change it. Amen.
Amen.
The Bible says that God will restore the years that the cankerworm have eaten. Bow your head, close your eyes.